You are listening to NTC Messina's podcast, where our desire as the family of God is to simply know God, love one another, and make disciples.
So, thinking this morning as we're singing, we sing words like, I'm going to worship until my heart changes. Was that the words of that, Gabe? So, and there's this, the Bible in Psalm 138 says, I will praise him with my whole heart. And so what these scriptures remind me of is the struggle that we have to try to get to where we know we should be in God, right? And it's always been that way for me. I've always been like, God, I know where I'm supposed to be living or how I'm supposed to be living, but I come up short. And always I'm thinking, we were talking yesterday morning in the men's prayer time about when we're going to arrive, you know? And I said, well, it didn't happen at year 40 for me as a Christian, so maybe year 50, maybe that'll work. And so some of you have been here for, been a Christian for 50 years. Bill, have you been a Christian 50 years? Probably that. So maybe that's the time, right, that we just arrive, we get there. But I don't think so. I think there's always a sense of we're going to be reaching. And I think with God, as far as he sees it, he knows our weakness, right? He knows that we're basically in the single digits, right? We use our brain like 4% of our brain or something like that. And even in our giving, a tithe of 10% is a lot for us, right? So we're down in this really low percentage number trying to get to this 100%. Because we know, as Sherry was saying, how holy God is and how we're supposed to come up, you know. But God knows, he knows that we're going to just fall short. And as a matter of fact, he's made provision for us. He says, in my weakness, in your weakness, I will be strong. That's what God says to us. So our hope is not in our ability to rise to the occasion. I don't know about you, but my best hasn't always been good enough. People say, try your best, just do your best. And so many times it's come up short. But the good news is God makes up the difference. Maybe we get the 10%, some of the very best of us, but the rest, the other 90%, he takes care of. And you know, we finish our lives often, and I think about Al again. He wrote hundreds of songs, and he had messages prepared that he never spoke, and songs prepared that he never could sing for everybody. Yet, at the very end, God makes up the difference. So wherever you are today, just be encouraged that the goodness of God is going to take us the rest of the way. We don't have to all be all worried and all upset all the time that we're not measuring up, because we know that he's made strong in our weakness. Amen? So that's good news today. I think it's really good news. I don't have to strive. The Bible says the servant of the Lord shouldn't strive, right? So I'll just start off this a little story. There was a plane was en route over the ocean, and it's right in the middle of the ocean, and the pilot gets on and says, we've lost a motor. One of the engines is down. We're going to have to take the plane down. Nobody's going to die, but we're probably going to end up in some obscure island, and nobody's ever going to be able to contact you again. You'll never be reached. And so everybody went silent, but back in row 27, like CE, Marty Avery was there. And Marty starts laughing, and everybody's like, Marty, why are you laughing so much? He says, you know what? I owe the IRS $45,000. They will find me. So, is that about right, Marty? Yeah. All right. So I heard somebody say this week, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one. And I think all of us in our lives, starting Monday morning or after church today, we all get a chance to live out a sermon, right? And I, the story, one of the stories I heard was that a man was asked, he was a pastor, he'd been a pastor for 30 years. And somebody came up to him and asked him, "What's different about you now than when you first started being a pastor?" And he said, "This is the key difference. This is the illustration he gave." He says, "When there's an accident on a road, two different people show up. One person shows up, the policeman shows up, to determine who's at fault, right? And then there's also a paramedic that shows up to help." He says, "The difference is, I used to be that policeman, now I'm the paramedic." And that, we're talking about maturity now. That's what we've been working on for the last few weeks. Greg has done a great job talking about maturity. And last week he talked about how we spend our time. And is that, are we making the best use of our time? Because that demonstrates our level of maturity. But just like the story goes, are we living in such a way where we're coming with judgment, or are we showing up with mercy, right? The Bible says that we do justice, but we love mercy. And a lot of times we have it backwards. We do mercy, and we love justice. And we want to make sure that our hearts are full of mercy. Psalm 136 makes a bunch of little statements. The whole chapter, it's a long chapter too. And the second statement, His mercy endures forever. And that's God's nature. It's got to be our nature. If you have a nature of mercy, you demonstrate the holiness that Sherry was talking about this morning. That holiness that God has, if you have a heart of mercy and you're living that out, you're living a holy lifestyle. It's not like we think, is it? Sometimes we look at holiness and we have this definition of what holiness is, and it's really not that at all. It's something different. It's simple things like I said, living in mercy and loving one another and being patient and long-suffering and being a help instead of a judge. Amen? Amen. So the aspect of maturity, kind of a big deal as Christians. We're called to grow up, go from the milk of the word to meat. I think of this morning I'm out walking the dog. I take the dog out for a walk, and he's a puppy. And it's very hard because the dog is like 95% of the time pulling on me, you know. And this is a sign of immaturity. The dog that we used to have, the older dog, he would walk right alongside of me. And that's the way we are to be with God, right? We learn to walk with him, not be pulling, all nerved up all the time, worried about our relationships and our finances. And hey, listen, I'm as guilty as anybody here. I can wake up in the middle of the night as much as anybody here and start worrying about something. Any worriers in here? Yeah, you know what the Bible says you do when you worry? It's very clear. It says, instead of worrying, pray. All right? So if you start worrying, you start going down that path, begin to pray. But maturity is when we're walking with God. Remember, Adam walked with God in the garden. And that's what we're called to do. Just walk with him. Don't be pulling all the time and yanking around, but just be with him, calm, patient, full of peace and rest and joy. Amen? I want to show a video. Who in here comes home from work cranky? There's one right there. There's two. We got a couple people that are cranky. Like, do you really, Sanford? I don't see that. But I don't know Sanford like I thought I did. So this is a little video about the idea of working hard. And can you run that?
Can you hear me? Guys? I'm cranky. I'm tired. I worked hard at school. Okay?
All right, so what? You don't want me to mess with you tonight?
No. I'm cranky. I'm tired. I'm working hard at school.
You're not going to wrestle here in a little bit?
Well, maybe.
Oh.
If I stop getting cranky and tired.
I've already got everything fed and watered.
Yeah, I know.
Already got the eggs. I did your job because I knew you was tired.
I'm tired. I worked hard at school.
I get that. I work hard today, too.
don't know why you're so cranky.
I worked hard at school.
I worked hard at work, but I'm not as cranky as you.
We're going to get our stuff done, and we're going to bed early.
Yeah, I know. I'm getting a bath tonight. You hear me? I'm quaky. I'm tired.
It's probably worth watching a second time. Those are fun. So, you know, they going to work, right, Brian? How many hours a day do you work? More than there is in the day, I think. But I don't know about you, but I see Brian everywhere. He's in that truck. And I saw your truck at Bub Leo's, I thought. Yep, okay. Still got to rest the horses sometimes. But, you know, we work, and they say a bad day of fishing is better than a good day of work. I don't know about that, but I get the point. You know, there's a section in Scripture we'll start off with out of Genesis chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. And I'll read it with you if you guys want to. Thank you, you've got that up. It says, Then to Adam, God said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife. John, you're listening? John Kessinger? Okay. Because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Any ex-Catholics in here or Catholics, remember that when you Ash Wednesday, they said, remember, man, that thou art dust, and dust you shall return? Yes, that's where that comes from, Genesis chapter 3, verse 19. So there's this thing that happened. Things went wrong. Things were really good, right, in the garden. You got to believe they were perfect, right? There wasn't anything in the garden originally that was below perfection. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine going a whole day of your life with nothing going wrong? Can you imagine going an hour, just an hour, with nothing happening, nothing going wrong, no evil thought, no bad thing happened, nobody pulls out in front of you or whatever it is that causes you to get upset? But this is the place. You're in a garden, and they have this incident, and ends up God addressing Adam, and he says, this is the result of what you just did. And so he talks about this aspect of work becoming toil. Work equals toil. That's what it is. And he says, cursed is the ground. Cursed is the ground. How many gardeners? Who plants a garden? All right, my wife's not here, but my son's here. Don't tell her I said this. But she plants a garden, and she works so hard on it. We're watering it every night, weeding it out, everything, and animals get in. And at the end of the whole thing, she's got only a handful of, no, it's probably more than that. She's got some good stuff. But I'm going like, the ground is cursed. Let's just go to Walmart or something, the produce section. And for all that work, you got a half a dozen tomatoes or whatever. But so that's the idea. This is what's happened. Things have changed in such a way that the ground isn't even doing what it's supposed to do, right? And it says all the days of your life, you're going to be working. Billy, you worked for General Motors, right? Remember Plan A? Had to work every Saturday. We were working 12 on and 2 off. Every day it seemed like I was going to work. And you do this for all the days of your life. Now, not Brian, because Brian's retired. Did you go back to work? Why would you do such a... No. No, I understand. But all the... We work for years and work hard. We really do. I know that we do. And that's what we're up against. And there's thorns and thistles. And the more you work, the more your taxes grow, you know. And think about, as a business owner, who's a business owner? Brian, again, you're a business owner. Sometimes you work a whole day and you get nothing from it. You work, you just, everything kind of goes backwards. You were better off when you started than when you ended. So we got thorns and thistles in the way. And then out of it, it says you'll eat herbs. So I traveled this week to Niagara Falls with a couple people. One of them was a vegan. And you're fine. I mean, I'm sure there's probably some vegans in here. I'm going like, you know, you don't have to be a vegan. Anyways, so we eat herbs. And then the last part is by the sweat of your face, you shall eat bread. I mowed 3 lawns yesterday. And I don't know about you, but when I sweat, it starts in my face. And it gets in my eyes, and I'm pushing the mower, and the bugs are coming around. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? This is what we're living out right now. We're living this Genesis 3 thing out at some measure right now. Now, you know, I get it. We all try to figure out ways around hard work, right? Proverbs 26:13 says, and I think maybe you'll put it, the lazy man says, there is a lion in the road, a fierce lion in the streets. So this is a guy who's trying to get out of work. Instead of a lion being in the streets now, oh, it's snowing too hard. Or I hurt my pinky, I can't go to, whatever it is, we have excuses to try to stay out of work. And we work, some people, I know people that work harder trying to get out of work than as if they went to work in the first place. And they're very skilled at it too. And I know because I can be one of them, you know. I can figure out so many different ways not to do something that I know I need to do that I'm exhausted just trying to, you know how it goes. So this is, people are trying to get out of the ramifications of the curse, right? But you can't do it. You can't outsmart God. You can't do it. We got to face what we have coming. We came back from Northern Michigan last summertime. We were out seeing my brother-in-law. And we drove down through Canada, and there was an accident like 2 minutes before we got to this point. And this accident diverted us 3 hours around. This is in Northern Canada, or not Southern Canada, actually, but way up north to us. And there was no other way to get to our destination than to take that 200-mile route around and lose 3 hours of travel time. And this is the way things, when God sets something up, forget fighting it. Stop trying to battle against God. And I'm keenly aware of this all the time in my life. When I know God's doing something in my life, working with me, that fiery trial, right? You know that, you know all those times when you say, why? Why, God? The Bible has an answer, a very good answer. It says, don't think it strange concerning the fiery trials. Don't think it strange. Don't say, why? Well, you know what? When God's doing something in your heart, He's going to do it. You're not going to figure out a way around it. He's going to do it. He's smarter than you and I. He'll way outsmart us. Just like Jacob wrestling through the night, he had to go through that. There was no getting around it. And that's a sign that He loves you, right? He chastens those He loves. And so we got to look at it like that. We got to say, oh, God, You must love me a lot. Because I'm chasing so much. But it's a good thing. It's a good thing. So scriptures, there's a lot of scriptures that really address our choices of whether or not we're going to work. Proverbs 10:4, and if I switch here, I'll just read off this. It says, he that has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. Remember Back to the Future? Who was it that talked to McFly? He said, you're a slacker, McFly. Slacker, remember that phrase? Anyways, I don't know why I remember that. But the slack hand becomes poor. Proverbs 26:14. I love this one. This is really good. Proverbs 26:14. It says, as the door turns on his hinges, so does the lazy man on his bed. Anybody in here have that scripture kind of memorized? You've known it for years. And you wake up at 6 o'clock or 6:10 in the morning, and you roll over onto your side, and that scripture comes to your mind. It does for me. It has even recently. Proverbs 14:23. There's another one. Proverbs 14:23. Thanks, you guys, for keeping up with me. I appreciate it. I think it's coming up. It's coming. Is it coming? Proverbs 14:23. It's basically idle chatter. In all labor there's profit, but idle chatter leads only to poverty. And so I'm to this day, this scripture comes up. I get in meetings, hour-long meetings with groups of people, and we start talking. And everybody knows what the problem is, yet we just talk our way right to the end of the meeting. And everybody walks out, I don't have anything I got to cover for this, because it's just a bunch of idle chatter. And this is the way, this is, our lives can be, we can talk about what we have to do, but it actually getting in there and doing it is a different thing. 2 Thessalonians 3:10, and this one's pretty strong. 2 Thessalonians 3:10, easy for me to say. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this, if anyone should not work, neither should he eat. That's pretty heavy duty. And so it's really pushing this notion that a good work ethic is really partial to the passage to spiritual maturity, right? The Bible even says faith without what is dead? Works. There's that name, that word again. Works. Works. Toil. That sort of thing. And it's kind of to me like, how many of you have ever baked a cake? Michelle, where's Michelle? Have you baked a cake and forgotten the main ingredient? You probably haven't. You haven't. She's shaking her head no. Yeah, her daughter-in-law has. What did you forget when you baked something? You don't know. So if you might forget the eggs or something like that. And it really has an impact on that cake, something that's very important. And so work is one of those things. It's a key ingredient to us as Christians becoming mature. And it's something that we all have to grapple with at one point in our life or the other. And it's better off to do it earlier, because if you don't get this down, you're in a world of hurt your whole life. My oldest son, Noah, and if you know Noah, I see people all the time that know my son, Noah. And I'm just as proud as can be, because he's so well-liked and so well-respected. But, you know, this is a kid who gets his license, right? We're down in Loudville, and I get a phone call one day. And my friend Dan Canan, who's down there, he was everywhere down there. Dan was always around. He said, I just saw your car going through downtown at 55 miles per hour. And this is Noah, you know? And that's just probably part of it. But this is this immaturity thing that is bound in the heart of a child, right? It just is there. And Noah ends up, we end up here, and he's like 19 years old, and he gets married. So now he has responsibilities. Noah starts a job working for Currens. Where's Guy? Guy worked for Currens. And he worked at least 60 hours a week. As a matter of fact, I remember his shift started at 6 o'clock. He would get there at 5 in the morning and warm up all the heavy equipment. So he worked like over 60 hours a week for 2 years straight. And it settled him right down, and he grew up. So work does that. It has that effect, that impact. And this needs to happen for every single one of us. We've got to mature in that area of working, right? Now, of course, we've got benefits. of work that really kind of are what encourage us to work 60 hours a week or do plan A or whatever and just stick it out, stay with our jobs. And number one of them, number one is a paycheck, right? You got to have a paycheck. The electric company has never forgotten to send me a bill. In all my years, the electric company, the gas company, Time Warner Cable, they've never forgotten I have to keep working. And I need the paycheck, and it works out well that way, right? Secondly, work fixes a lot of problems. Like I just described with my son Noah, it makes us grow up. And I love what my friend Dave Smith, how many of you know Dave very well? Dave Smith, I think he's up, I don't know where Dave is. He's in the balcony usually, but Dave says, if I didn't work, I'd get myself in trouble. And I'm like, oh, me too. I mean, as soon as I have too much free time, my brain takes me places that I don't need to go. So it fixes a lot of problems. And I remember, and maybe some of you will know who I'm talking about, but years ago, I go to the bank a lot, and there was an older lady that started working at CECOM. And I'd go in, and she was just cast down, burdened, unhappy. And I actually just felt so bad for her. My mind went, and I'm going like, I'm sure she's doing this because she just has to. She has no other way of getting an income. So I just felt bad for her. But she worked there for years. And I remember as time went on, her countenance improved. She started to look younger and younger. And by the end, she was happy and vibrant and so full of life. And I remember when she retired, she says, I'm moving to Rutland, Vermont. But everything had changed in her life. And I'm pretty sure it was because she was committed to that job and it changed her. Hard work is good for us. It's good for us. It's necessary. And some people say this, and this is not 100% thing, so don't take this the wrong way, but some people will say this. I don't work because I'm depressed or something's wrong. I don't work because I can't because I'm depressed. Or is it I'm depressed because I don't work? So there's a big difference. And I know for me, a lot of times I'll start my day in a bad mood. Sometimes so you guys come home cranky. I go to work cranky. I'll start cranky, and I'll start putting some effort into whatever I'm doing, and I get happy. I get content. It's just it's like a paradox. It really is. The effort you put into it turns into something good personally. The third part, a paycheck, it fixes a lot of problems. But Ephesians 4:28, and he's already got it up. You're so great. Thank you. Nolan, you running that? He's got that cowboy hat. It looks so good. I got to get me one of those. Let him who stole steal no longer. Anybody in here used to be a thief? Don't raise your hand. Anybody still a thief? Don't raise your hand. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give who has in need. Right? Working with your hands. The Bible talks about our hands a lot. Who's got some really cool skill that they can do with their hands? I'll give you Kevin. What can you do with your hands that's really skillful? He's a tradesman, yes. I can string a tennis racket. Can anybody else string a tennis racket here? I didn't think so. Who can do something really good with their hands? Anybody? What can you do? Joe, what can you do with your hands? He can polish a car, wax on, wax off. I've seen people polish cars not so good. So that is a skill. What else? Jeff, I saw your hand go up. Fishing, tie fishing lures. I can't do that. Wow. That's why I bring you fishing. Yeah. So our hands, we're working with our hands, that which is good. And then it says, so we can have something to give to others who have need. Now, this is really important. This is a big deal. We are to have extra for the purpose of being able to be a blessing to others. This is a primary purpose. It's not the only one. The Bible calls us to be good stewards and have things set up the way we should be. But it's giving to others has to be part of the plan of our life, right? We have to have that. We can't live a life separated from needs of other people. It's got to be part of who we are, right? And, you know, the idea of socialism is right. The method that we see right now, I don't believe is right. Socialism, at its base, is a philosophy that those who have can give to those who don't have, so there's the mountains come down a little bit and the valleys come up a little bit. So we take care of each other. The problem with socialism, the way we see it now, is it's forced. And that's not the way God intended, right? God didn't want to force Brian to give all of his millions of dollars to me, who only... It's got to be from Brian's heart. And it is, because I know that's the way Brian is. But that's the way God has designed it, really, for us to be aware. Don't drive down the nice streets all the time. Drive in the back streets. Look out for some need. Look for a way that we can give to help others. And then the fourth one, of course, paycheck fixes a lot of problems. Give to others with need. But it's also a matter of being a good witness, right? And Joseph's a good example of that. Joseph in the Old Testament, he worked hard. He was diligent. Proverbs 22:29 says, "See a man diligent in his work, he will stand before kings," right? My daughter worked for Dunkin' Donuts when she was in high school. And I'd go there, she had a co-worker. Jerry, was that his name, Spencer? And Jerry said, "We need more Carlys," because she would do the work of three or four people. And the boss would sit in the back and do nothing, and Carly would just work and work and work. And she initially started to complain, was complaining about it. But by the end, she's like, "I'm ready to go," you know. So they say, how many people have employees, people that work for you? And you know, if you have people that work for you, if you want something done, what do? You find a busy person. Find somebody you know who'll do it, right? You don't want to go to and ask somebody who's going to give you trouble all the time and say, "Oh, I don't want it," you know. You go to somebody who's a good worker, and that's what we need to be. We need to be that witness. And I don't know. I've heard it so many times where people would say, businesses, local businesses, "I like to hire people from that church up there, kids. I like to hire the kids because they work harder than everybody else." And that's a good testimony, a good witness. So I'm getting low on time, but originally, work was considered or meant to be a complete fulfillment, complete satisfaction, complete fruitfulness. But because, the Bible says, because you ate of that, because we sinned, then it turned into toil, right? But here's the good news today. I'm going to bring it down to this. The cross moves us back in the direction. The Bible says, and you've heard this in the Lord's Prayer, on earth as it is in heaven. So God is in doing this change right now. It was heading the wrong way, and now because of the cross, things are turned around. Jesus died and rose again to get things back to the original state, right? It's a change in momentum. We got momentum people over here. What a great word that is, momentum. And it's like this. Have you ever pushed a car? Who's ever pushed a car? They put it in neutral, and you get three or four people behind you start pushing that car. The hardest part of it is what? Just getting started. Once it gets moving, it like gets a lot easier. Momentum is, there's so much to be said for momentum. Well, guess what? The momentum right now is going back towards what was intended to be originally. Because of the cross, everything for those that love him, this is a qualifier. Remember, all things work together for those that love him. Everything is now moving in the right direction. We've got this momentum shift. And there's evidence of this. Sherry talked about changed our lives, the changed lives. Think about where you could have been today had you not known the Lord and how far God has taken you. That momentum shift, that Jesus being in our lives, has moved us towards heaven, right? Things are better. There's healings. There's freedom. There's wholeness. There's hope. Hope. What a word. What an underrated hope to me. Hope to me is like sugar. This is what hope is to me. And you put sugar on just about anything, and it makes it better. Right, Michelle? How many of you have ever had rhubarb and you put some sugar on it? Rhubarb? What else would sugar really help? Anybody? Grapefruit. Of course, you got to have it on grapefruit. But all sugar is like, hope is like sugar. Wherever it's applied, I heard somebody say, you're a great baker. And they said, I said, what's your secret? I just double their recipe, the sugar part of it. And I go, oh, that makes sense. So hope is like that. Hope, it's a big part of our life. It makes things just so much better. And then there's brown sugar. I don't even get me started on that. That's even better, isn't it? Brown sugar. All right. So every teaching under the new covenant should spin into a message of hope, right? And you've heard it just like I have for years. I've heard people get up in this church and preach angry. We've heard that. Brimstone, fire, and I suppose there's a place for that sometimes. I need a good kick in the back end sometimes, but for the most part, that angry preaching has to be curtailed. We have this thing called the gospel. Anybody know what the definition of gospel is? Good news. And I'm telling you, you and I don't know the half of it. We're down below that 10% level again. What the gospel, what the cross has done for us is way beyond all that we can imagine or think. And so I've been reading in Jeremiah lately. And I was going to read another chapter of it this morning. I had to stop. Just because it's God speaking through Jeremiah to pronounce judgment. And even on his own people. Even on his own people. And it all stems from this, the fall, right? Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. I don't even know if I put that up there as one. But it says, the intents and thoughts of people's heart. Then the Lord saw the wickedness of man that was great, and that every intent and thought of his heart was only evil continually or all the time. And I have this acronym, OEA. It should be OEC, but OEA, only evil all the time, right? And this is the heart of man before they're converted. And again, I'm not saying that we don't need to repent, because there's time for us to repent, and we need to. But the gospel, the event of being born again, changed you in such a dramatic way is that you're not even the same person. You're a new creation, a brand new creation. And this is what it looks like. And this is all part of how work comes into this. We were all once a caterpillar, right? And when you become born again, it's like changing from that caterpillar into a butterfly. And if you've been born again, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You went from 16 legs on the ground to only 6. We still have legs on the ground, and we are floating like a butterfly. Not stinging like a bee, right? But we're floating like a, we're floating. And so as a child of God, this momentum in our lives is towards blessing. As a child of God, as a person that's born again, that knows Jesus, and more importantly is known by him, he knows us now. We're not far off. We're close, right? That momentum, that change in our life is pushing us towards blessing. And listen to this. My burdens are heavier now than ever, but my joy and my faith has outpaced my burdens. Can you say that today? Is that about right? We have more obstacles, more difficulties, more troubles. In the world, you'll have tribulation, right? But be of good cheer, for I've overcome. We have these things, but our faith outpaces that. And that should be our testimony. As we live our lives in Christ, we have this hope again. And we're moving with greater joy, greater love, an ability to go to work because we're going back to the original thing. I don't know about you. As a Christian, I seem to be able to get more enjoyment out of work than I did before I was. And so I'm just going to close with a few keys on how to return to this original state when it comes to work. Ecclesiastes 9:10. It says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. So you can go at this thing. There's this phrase called, my friend who's a cyclist, Francis, we'd be biking together and we'd be heading up a hill, and he says, kill the hill. Kill the hill. So it just encourages you to just go up that hill as hard as you can. Whatever you find to do, do it with all your might. It helps a lot just to put your head down and go. That makes a difference. Number two, and this is a scripture memory verse that we had at home, and Spencer can quote this, Colossians 3:23. It says, and whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and unto men. Right? So we're doing it for a different reason now. I remember I had an employee once when I was at General Motors. And I was a boss. I did everything wrong. I was a bad boss for a long time. And I went up to this one guy, and he was kind of a Christian, but he was a knothead. Anybody know a Christian? Anyways, I said, you got to do it this way. And I reminded him that he worked for me. You don't do that. Authority is like a bar of soap, right? The more you use it, the less you have. So he says, I don't work for you. I work for the Lord. And I just walked away, and I'm going, oh, he's right. He does work for the Lord. I'll leave it between him and God. So, but we work at it with all your heart as unto the Lord. Let's combine our talents. Let's combine this whatever God gave you, that with your ability to do with your hands, usually through your brain, of course, whether you're an engineer, whether you work detailing cars, polishing cars or whatever, do it with all your heart as unto the Lord, as an offering to God, right? You know, the idea of offerings is not obsolete. We don't offer bulls and goats anymore, but we do offer praise. We do offer broken and contrite spirit, worship, right? And we offer thanksgiving. Let us offer our work, whatever we're doing, whatever you do, do with all your heart, as unto the Lord. As unto the Lord. Amen. Do improvements. When you're at work tomorrow, I worked for Alcoa for over 9 years. And for the first 3 years, I hated every day of it. I hated it. I had my own business beforehand. At 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I wished it were 10 o'clock in the morning. And when I went to Alcoa, I worked at 10 o'clock in the morning, I wished it were 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Until one day, I said, I found something I can fix. I can make this job better. And I did it, and it just changed my world. And that's what I do for a living right now. I do a lot of process improvement work around the state of New York. I go work for the Power Authority. I don't know how many things we fix, but we work at it, right? But work at making things better. And I'll tell you one thing that got better, and that was our relationship with God. Jesus is the ultimate process improver, right? He was the one that made a change for the better for all of us. I would say, if it's on your heart to start a business, be encouraged. I exhort you, start a business if that's, you know what, it's like Casey goes to the gym. I'm going, Casey, why would you want to do that, you know? And then I heard yesterday he could bench 305 at one point. But we put ourselves through stuff. Starting a business, right, Bing, is the ultimate way to build your faith muscles. Because you don't know tomorrow if somebody's going to walk in the store, do you? I mean, you have to trust God. Right, Spencer? We don't know how next week's going to be with the business that he has. But it's a good way. God loves it when we start our own business. He's in it. He's in business. It's a great way to grow and mature in our faith as well. So I'm going to end with, if we can have a few people come up, the people that we're going to pray. And this is what I want to go back to, this whole caterpillar butterfly thing. And I want to just make sure that we have as many butterflies in here as possible. If you haven't asked Jesus into your heart, if you haven't gone through that conversion from a 16-leg caterpillar to a butterfly who has, I think, three sets of wings, I don't know, whatever it is, that needs to happen in each of our hearts. That needs to be a part, that transition back. So the momentum, if you haven't felt the momentum shift, this is the time for you. So I don't know, Sherry, do you want to? She's not ready. No, I just kidding. Let's pray together. And I want to have, if you'd all stand with me, if you haven't asked Jesus into your heart, if you haven't been metamorphized, is that a word? If you haven't changed in your heart from that caterpillar to that butterfly, and you know if you have, if you're not sure, today's the day to be able to get ready and to get yourself right and transform before God. So I'm going to pray right now. Once I get done praying, I'll have anybody who wants to, if you want prayer to be able to become what God wants you to be in Him, or if you struggle with the work thing, if it's kind of a too heavy burden for you, said I need help in that area, come up for some prayer too. So let me pray, and then I'll let you guys go with a song. Father, we thank you today, Lord, that you love us so much, Father, that you're bringing us from second grade to third grade to fifth grade to 12th grade. Lord, you're taking us on a journey of maturity, Lord God, this morning. Help us today, Father, to look at our work differently. Help us today, Lord God, to look at you differently and to serve you, Lord God, with all our might through our work, Lord God. And I pray for individuals here today who don't know you, Lord God, that you would stir in their heart in such a way that they would come forward. And if you would, start coming forward right now if you need prayer. Father, we ask, Lord, that you would meet them even as they walk, Lord God, that you would just warm their hearts, that tingly feeling that we've heard about earlier. Lord, that you would do that in hearts today, Lord God, that you would melt us. And Father, that you would save every single person here, transform any person here that hasn't been transformed into that butterfly from the caterpillar state, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to NTC Messina's podcast. We hope you join us next week and have a blessed day.